Let's all go ahead and stand and take our Bible. Proverbs chapter number 8 tonight. We're going to start with verse number 10 of Proverbs chapter number 8. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwelleth with prudence, and find out knowledge of woody inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, the fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Proverbs chapter 8, again, is wisdom and understanding being put together, and they give us things. They give us power that preserves us in so many different ways. And I started with 15 thoughts last week, and we got into a few of them that we find in this chapter, verse by verse, on the marriage, the union between wisdom and understanding and what they provide for us when we put them into our life. So let's pray, Father. Thank you now for this today. Please, Holy Spirit, meet with us. Guide us and help us. Help us to obey what we learn from your word and help us to apply it to our life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I said last week that when we see the word she in Scripture, we get that from verses 2 and 3. She is the union of wisdom and understanding. We know that wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view, looking at ourselves from God's point of view, looking at others from God's point of view, while understanding is the application of that view of God's, comprehending it, accepting it, and applying it to our lives. And so the application of life from God's perspective is us to have wisdom and understanding put together into one. So we learn that she's all around us in verses 1 through 3. Wisdom and understanding is a she that's talked about here. She's all around us. And we learn, number 2, that she, wisdom and understanding, together are unperverted, verses 4 through 9. Then we learn, number 3, that she is more valuable than things we seek after, verses 10 and 11, which we read today, which is ruby or silver and gold, which we seek after, which is really what we live for. Okay, we talked about verse 10, how that you receive my instruction, which is reproof or authoritative direction to be obeyed, that he was giving us something, and it'd be better than silver. And knowledge is awareness gained through experience of living in wisdom and understanding is better than rather than choice gold. We learned that last week. Now, number 4, I don't think we hit. Releases the mind. She, wisdom and understanding, releases our mind. Verses 12 and 13. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of woody inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. So I, wisdom, dwelleth with prudence. Prudence is this. Discretion, which means a plan where we can choose between right and wrong or good and bad. Discretion. The word prudence is another word or a different word that means discretion, which means making a plan or having a plan where we can choose between good and bad or right and wrong or sin and not sin. That's what discretion is. Prudence is the same thing. It's to be able to have that plan that we've gotten. Where did we get that from? We got that from the marriage of wisdom and understanding. We're looking at life from God's point of view. When we look at life from God's point of view, then it helps us understand what we should do and what we should not do. Sometimes, something that's okay for some people may not be okay for us. Because I have weaknesses that you don't have, and you have strength that I don't have. And you have weaknesses I don't have, and I have strengths that you don't have. And things that may be all right for you may not be all right for me because of the weaknesses that I have. I may not be able to be exposed to those. But what tells me that? Wisdom and understanding married together gives me that prudence or that discretion to know what's good and bad for me. and also for you. We need that in our lives as our Christian lives. We need to understand how to apply that to our lives. For example, let's see. Some people I'm trying to think of some weaknesses and some strengths that people have and that I have that I may not use well. All right. I have a type A domineering personality. Okay? I don't like getting in arguments because in arguments I am going to win. Okay? So that means I'm going to fight. And so it's better for me not to get in an argument because I'm going to fight. So it may be alright for other people to argue in some areas, but it may not be alright for me to argue because I intend to win because of my domineering personality. So I want to win. So I may do things and say things in order to win that I shouldn't do or say because I intend to win. So it's better for me not to even approach that area than for me to approach that area. So I have to learn then how to control my temperament in some areas that it may be easier for other people. I know people that have a very laid-back personality and they don't fight. It's hard to get them to fight. Me, I'll fight at a drop of a hat if I have to drop the hat myself. Where other people, you can say things to them and it's like, oh, did you just say that to me? Oh, okay. And they just ignore it like it's nothing. And I wish oftentimes I had that. But that's not me. And so they can say some things and get involved with some things that I would probably lose my temper in, but they wouldn't lose their temper. See? So even though neither one of those are bad things necessarily in themselves, I need to know how to control that in my life. And someone else who maybe is not as aggressive in their life as I am, maybe they're so laid back that they don't pursue in their life things that they must pursue in order to provide for their family like they should. Because they're so laid back. They allow things to happen that shouldn't happen. So then that's not good for them. So they need to learn how to be more aggressive in some areas of their life. God expects us to be balanced. And wisdom and understanding, when we put them to work in our life, brings us to a more of a balanced life. See? I have a wild imagination. I see things that people don't see. And I don't mean I hallucinate, okay? I mean that I can go to a piece of property, and in my mind, I can see a building built on that piece of property that maybe other people can't see. Many years ago, I'm talking, about 12, 14 years ago, I can't remember now. Around the year 2000, I think it was. My wife and I looked at a piece of property and I said, honey, I can see this house there. And then we started looking for plans and we found the plans of the house that I could see on the property. And my wife had all sorts of questions. I can't see this here. And then I went out to the property after we bought the property and I took string out there and I took some stakes out there and I staked out this house that we were intending to build. And I said, I can see it built. And my wife went, there? That looks awful small. I said, oh, honey, by the time it's done, it's going to look huge. That looks awful small to me. I said, I promise you, honey, by the time it... Was it huge when we were done? Mm-hmm. It was huge. Because I could see things that she didn't see because my imagination grasped those things and can develop those things. My wife, on the other hand, has a very active imagination, but in a different form. She's crafty. That doesn't mean she's sneaky. Okay? She's crafty. She can take a piece of material and do things with a piece of material that I would think you should just throw away. Because she has a craft about her. She can take things and make things and take things that are broken and fix them and make them into to things that I could never imagine. Because her imagination is different than mine. That doesn't mean that I have a bad imagination and she has a bad imagination. It just means we both have varying imaginations that need to be make sure that we maintain correctly. Because we have vivid imaginations then, we have to make sure we use our imaginations correctly. And the way to use that correctly is by living a balanced life with wisdom and understanding. Because we both have imaginations, we can imagine all sorts of things that may not be true. I'm sure you've done that in your lifetime sometimes. I know I have. Where I've talked to somebody, and by the time I'm done, I've imagined all sorts of things that may not be true. Because I took it to, you know, but if this could, and then this could happen, and before you know it, this could happen, and this could happen, and I've taken it somewhere where it doesn't even belong. Because I misused my imagination. And imagination is not a bad thing. It's something every child ought to have and develop. Our society is stealing that away from our young people today because we watch everything and we don't think about anything. We don't read anything. I talk, a younger man today in his about mid-30s looked at me and said, "So you like to read, huh?" And somebody had given me a book as a gift recently and I said, "I love to read." And they said, I don't read ever. I watch TV." And I felt kind of bad for him. Because he doesn't have an imagination. I love it when a book comes to life. And I can see it. And I can lay that book down and I can still vividly see everything in my mind. When I read the Bible, I'm that way. I know what Peter looks like. I'm going to be awful disappointed when I get to heaven and Peter doesn't look like what I think he ought to look like. Have you ever imagined somebody, never met them, and then all of a sudden you meet them and they don't look like anything like you imagine them? They don't sound anything like you imagine them because you imagine them to be some way? Well, it's not a bad thing to have an imagination. So it's a good thing. It's part of it, though, is to have the right imagination, use it in the right format, and wisdom and understanding when they're married to each other help me do that properly. And so that helps me discern. So I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, which is direction or meaning a plan where we can choose between good and bad. So something may not be a choice between right and wrong. It may be what's good for me and what's not good for me. And I need to know that. And find out knowledge. Remember, knowledge is awareness gained through experience of living in wisdom and understanding. So I dwell with prudence and find out knowledge. Because I have that prudence or that discretion and I have that plan to choose right from wrong, that gives me more knowledge. And that knowledge is gaining experience by living in wisdom and understanding. And that gives me knowledge of witty inventions or devices. You know, some devices are good devices and some devices aren't good devices. Right now in front of me, I got a device. I got a device called an iPad. Now, some people might use it for right, some people may use it for wrong. It's a good device when you use it appropriately. It's a bad device if you don't use it appropriately. It's like the internet. The internet can be good or the internet can be bad. It has to do with how you use it. And so God gives us that wisdom and understanding put together with prudence so that I can make a right plan to choose the right things so I can get more experience and understanding those and use those witty inventions that God has given man understanding of how to build. I don't have the foggiest idea how a cell phone works. I just know it does. I have no idea how that television even works. How you can be in some faraway country or some faraway place and send out a signal and seconds later it comes to my house and it comes through the air and it's all disassembled through the air and nobody can see it and you can walk right through it and it doesn't affect it and boom, suddenly it appears on your television set. I have no idea how that happens or how that ones and zeros make everything you see on that computer. And every word that you have in a computer. And then the language of a computer is so very different than any language that you and I would ever begin to speak. I have no comprehension of many of these things. But that doesn't mean they're bad things just because I don't know how they work. You can use television for good. Or you can use television for bad for you. If you're addicted to it, then you can't use it well. It means you need to use it better. What will give you that ability to use it better? Wisdom and understanding married together as one will give us that discernment or that prudence to be able to apply correctly how to use it. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just a thing. My dad used to say, there's no good experiences and bad experiences. There's just experiences in life. And you need to learn from those experiences. And I have to agree with that. Because everything goes up and everything goes down. And everything seems to have wonders to it. And everything seems to have negatives to it. And so, there are experiences that I need to apply God's wisdom to, so that I get the proper knowledge from them, the awareness of how to live that way. So I need to get that knowledge of witty inventions or devices, using them for good to help me become a better Christian. All right, verse 13 becomes an important verse to understand then the mind of God as we look at wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and in a forward mouth do I hate. Now remember, take a look in your Bible back to Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 7. When we're at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, when we first started to understand it and read it, in verse 7 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, it's important then that we understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge that we need. That's what I need. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So when I look at life from God's perspective, when I get that knowledge, when I get that understanding, then I need to be able to help me to apply it to the right things. So God says, as I get these things, I need to be aware of some things. I need to be aware that there are some things that God hates. By the way, there are some things that you and I ought to hate. We ought to hate wrong. We ought to love, do right. For example, I love God, but I hate the devil. I love Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel message, but I hate sin. So you can go through that loves and hates, and God loves in His perfect love, and God hates with perfect hate. So God says there's some things that you ought to love, and I ought to love, and there's some things that we ought to hate. And so God says to hate evil. All right, let's go back and look then at our verse. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if that knowledge is to do this, then to hate evil. Remember, evil to the Lord is to intentionally do hurt or harm to someone else. And God says He hates it when we intentionally do hurt or harm to someone else. So I need to hate that. To intentionally do harm to someone else. That's evil. That's evil. When I intentionally hurt someone on purpose for my benefit, and we're all guilty of doing that at times. And so we need to be careful that we don't do that. Because God hates it, and so ought we then. Because if I'm going to have wisdom and understanding married together in my life to get the prudence that I need, or that discretion in my life that I need, then I need to remember to hate what God hates, and God hates evil. What is that evil? Well, He gives us a list. To hate evil, pride. Remember, pride is the opposite of humility. Humility means to totally depend on God. So the opposite of humility is pride. So if God says humility means to totally depend on God, then pride is to wholly depend on ourselves. We no longer depend on God, we depend on something else. Whether it's ourselves, or whether it is another person, or whether it's a drug, or whether it's alcohol, or whether it's something else, it can be a whole list of things that we can put there. But all of that God calls pride. And when I look at pride, I look at how big I puff myself up. And when I puff myself up, I make myself better or bigger than God. I become a god unto myself. I'm filled with pride. What am I doing? I'm wholly depending on me rather than wholly depending on God. I don't know what to do most of the time. So I got to wholly depend on God. Even though I think I know what to do and I have 56 years of experience in living behind me, I still need to depend on God. Christian maturity is not to become independent from God. Christian maturity is to become more and more and more dependent on God. So He hates pride because we no longer depend on Him. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Arrogancy is pomp or pride or a proud swelling. To think of oneself above all others. Not just above God, but about other people. I need to be careful then that I don't think I'm better than anybody else. Because that's what arrogance is. to think I'm better than anybody else. You ever seen someone speak and you can see that arrogance all over them? They just think they're better than everybody else, and they definitely think they're better than you just by the way they're talking to you. Mm-hmm. I've seen people talk to crowds of people that way. Arrogance is, I don't like it. I may be guilty of it sometimes. You may be guilty of it sometimes. But God hates arrogance. Why is that? Because we think we're better than everybody else. We're all puffed up, even more than pride. We're so full of pride that we think we're better than every other human being. And when we think that way, how are we supposed to share the love of Jesus Christ with others when we think we're better than they are? I'm not better than anybody else. In fact, I'm probably, as Paul said, the worst of sinners. Paul, one of the greatest men to ever walk the face of this earth, called himself the chief of sinners. That means he thinks he was the worst sinner that walked the earth at the time. Well, you know what he was saying? I'm not better than anybody else. And the truth is I'm not better than anybody else. No one's better than me, and I'm not better than them. We're all the same. You know what we are? Sinners. People. When we start to think we're better than somebody else, we injure other people because we're trying to benefit ourselves rather than realize that we're just not better than anybody else. When I realize that I'm not better than anybody else, I can understand Jesus Christ a whole lot more. I can understand His love for me and His love for you. I can understand the value of my salvation more. Because there's just no way in all the earth that I should ever receive Christ as my Savior. There's no way I should go to heaven. There's just no way. Sometimes when it comes to preachers, pastors, people think, well, who do they think they are? God? I mean, I know that they're human and do wrong. Yeah, there's nobody that knows I do wrong more than I know. I know I do wrong. Sometimes I bring so much humanity to the ministry, I feel ashamed to even be a preacher. Because I have a better expectation for preachers than what I am. I think they should be the cream of the crop, and I know that I'm not. I'm just chief of sinners like Paul. I'm not saying I'm better than Paul. I'm saying I'm probably a whole lot worse than he is. Because if Paul felt that way, and he was such a great man of God, how wretched must I really be? How much of a mess must I really be? That's a humble spirit. Not that you don't think you're worth anything, but because I am not looking for myself for the answers, I have to seek Him who knows more than I do. I don't always act that way. And I'm sure you don't either. My first response is to be dependent on me. My first response. I'm going to tell you a secret about me, but don't tell anybody. Okay? Oftentimes my wife has to tell me something first. And I got to get all those feelings out of the way. And she's patient with me. She understands me like no other human being understands me. And so sometimes she'll say, I've got something I got to tell you. Something that's coming your direction, but I need to tell you in advance so that you can get ready for it. So she tells me and I go, and then after I throw my little fit, I can start to think about what the answer really should be. Why? Because I know that my immediate response isn't right. Sometimes somebody will make me angry. Now sit down and I'll write me a letter, buddy. I'll sign that letter. I'll fold it up. I'll lay it somewhere. I won't mail it. I might even put it in the envelope. Write the address on there. Maybe even stick a stamp in it and put it in a drawer. So I can come back later on, rip it up, throw it away, and never mail it. Because I got it out of my system, now I can really think for a moment about what the real response ought to be. Because I know my immediate response goes to my human side immediately. 90% of the time, it's going to be the wrong response. So if I take the time to digest what needs to be done, what's really being said here, I can maybe benefit from it in a spiritual form and respond correctly to it. And maybe encourage somebody else as a result of it. But my first response may not be the best response. Because maybe I feel like all of a sudden I'm in a fight. What do you mean? What do you mean when they say something like that? And then I have to, oh, wait a minute. This is what really is being said here. But I got to get past that first response. I know my weaknesses. I know that's how I respond. And so I want to make sure I do the right thing. And my wife's lived with me long enough to know that's how I respond. And she knows that I'll come to the right answer if given the chance. And so my wife often won't spring something on me that maybe somebody else might spring on me, so that I have a chance to do the right thing. I wished I could say, as a preacher, I always come up with the right thing immediately. The right thing always just falls right into my brain. I just act right all the time. Well, I don't. I don't even come close to that. But that doesn't change the call of God on my life. That doesn't change the fact that Jesus saved me. That doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves me. That doesn't change the fact that He's called me to be His servant. Just because I don't always apply all of His truth immediately doesn't mean that I don't apply His truth to my life. Sometimes I just got to learn to shut my mouth. Just don't say anything. That's easier said than done. I know for me, and probably mostly for you as well. And so it's important then that I learn to hate evil. And I learn to hate arrogance where I think I'm better than somebody else. And then he says, and the evil way. Now remember, evil then is to intentionally hurt someone. So evil way, or evil in the way, as I live my life, I need to make sure I don't live my life trying to hurt other people. Whether it's with my words, or with my actions, or with my behavior, I've got to learn to be in control. I can't control me though. I know who can. Wisdom and understanding with prudence gives me a direction to go, and I need God's wisdom in my life, because if everybody followed what I thought all the time, the world would be in a bigger mess than it is today. And why does man have so much problem with man? Because man follows man's ways instead of God's ways. Why do husbands and wives fight? Because husbands follow their ways, wives follow their ways, they're both following man's ways and not following God's ways. Why do children get rebellious? Because they don't follow God's ways, they don't follow their parents' ways, they follow their own ways. And so God says we don't want to live in the evil way or have that lifestyle or that road. We don't want to go down that evil road in our life of intentionally hurting other people. There's some people that all they do is hurt other people. That's what they do with their life. That's what their life is all about. And if they don't have somebody to hurt, they'll figure out somebody to hurt. And they're not doing it intentionally. It's not that they hate things. They're not that they're a wicked person. But their evil way has become so much a part of them. Man is that way. That's the direction of man. Is the evil way. And God's warning you and I about that. And so then he says, and the last thing we're going to stop here, is the forward mouth do I hate. The forward mouth do I hate. That forward mouth is a twisted, fraudulent speech that I do hate, or is my enemy or my foe. So God hates fraudulent, twisted, perverted speech, becomes His enemy or His foe. That's God's thinking. So these things, the arrogant, the evil way, a course of life, or mode of action, or the road or the direction that we're headed in is an evil direction. He doesn't want us to go that way. He doesn't want us to be arrogant or pomp or full of pride or swallowing ourselves up to thinking we're better than anybody else. By the way, what cometh right before the fall? Pride cometh before the fall. And I've seen that happen in so many lives. I've seen that happen in my life. So He wants us to the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and a forward mouth do I hate. And that forward mouth, I often, and this is just my application here, this is just my opinion, I often think of gossip. Gossip is the twisting of a truth to make somebody else look worse and us look better. Isn't that amazing how we do that? We'll take something good and we'll twist it to make ourselves look better. That's a twisted or forward speech. So those are the things God's talking about here for you and I. These are the things that God says when we need to understand that the fear of the Lord causes us not to do these things. What is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But who doesn't follow this? Fools don't follow this. I don't want to be a fool. So I need to look at what God hates and hate what God hates and love what God loves. And I need to apply these to my life. This is all an application of a father sitting down with his son and saying, this is what you have to have in life. I'm going to give you step by step what you ought to think and how to apply it to your life. And so when we marry wisdom and understanding together, we get this here. And what is that? The release of our minds. Our minds get released. And we can do some wonderful things for God. Why? Because we're thinking in the right direction now. Everything we think is the direction that we're going to move ourselves in. So if I get the right thoughts, get the right thinking in my mind, I go in the right direction. Why do we make some major blunders and mistakes in our life? Because our thinking gets off the wrong direction. It's not that we're bad people. Our thinking has just gotten off. We just need to keep it on the right path. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight. And Holy Spirit, I ask.